some scripture found in Ephesians chapter 4, starting in Ephesians chapter 4 and the last two verses of that chapter, and reading a little bit into the fifth chapter. And when I studied these and was reading these, I had this thought, and just as sure as I say this, that's not how it will turn out, but I had this thought that this may well be by far the shortest sermon that I've preached in the time that I've been here. These scriptures are so self-explanatory as to what they're saying. There's no room really anywhere to misunderstand them. The Apostle Paul wrote this. Actually, I want to back up and begin reading with verse 26. Paul said, "Be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. Neither give place to the devil. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption." It says in these last two verses, it says, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and all evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Chapter 5, be ye therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also hath loved us and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. And the Apostle Paul, if we go back to the very beginning of this same chapter, of the very beginning of the fourth chapter of this Ephesian letter, in the first three verses, he said, "I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that ye walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called, with all lowliness and meekness, with longsuffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace." And you know, I have always thought that when I read these verses, that Paul was writing here that this is something that requires effort. This is something that doesn't just happen. When you endeavor to do something, there is an effort that is being required. He said, endeavor to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. And if we don't make that effort, if we don't do that, then it won't happen. It won't get done. And so he, and I want you to notice what he said here. He said, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. And that's the only way that it can work. And so he spoke about some things that we were not to do. He spoke about some things here that were to be put away. And I think if we if we really take a close look at the language here, we see that the Apostle Paul, when he wrote to the Ephesians, when he wrote to the church at Ephesus, he obviously was not telling them that these things could never exist among them. You know, you cannot put something away that's not there. And so obviously he wasn't telling them that these things would never happen. These things that he spoke of, bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, that is loud, abusive, abrupt type language, evil speaking, malice, you know, these things, he didn't say that they would never be there. He said, you put them away. And he goes on and he says, be kind. Now, you know, that's the opposite. That's the contrast. That's just the opposite of what he was saying before. And I'm going to say this, and I know that everybody here believes this. I'm confident that every child of God here today believes this, that bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, evil speaking, malice, none of these things have any place among the children of God. But they can happen. And we've seen that throughout life. They can happen. It can happen in families. It, you know, I think these things are all of these ill, unfavorable emotions. You can see them now in America every day. I mean, there's a lot of anger in this nation today. And these things can happen in natural families, and they can certainly happen in church families. And in any situation, you know, these things are not profitable. They make shipwreck. They bring a destruction is in their path, and they are not profitable. And so the Apostle Paul said, these things be put away. Now, he had said prior to that, he had instructed them not to grieve the Holy Spirit. He said, grieve not the Holy Spirit, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. And, you know, I think the Apostle Paul here was making reference to something much more. You know, if the Holy Spirit today leads somebody to stand up and testify about their salvation or testify about His goodness, certainly I believe it would grieve the Lord, grieve the Holy Spirit not to do that. But I believe that these things that the 31st verse talks about, these things such as bitterness and anger and all these things, if they are not put away, if they're allowed to exist among us, then it grieves the Holy Spirit of God. The way that he instructed them to be overcome, or the way he instructed them to overcome these things, rather, was to be kind one to another and to be tender-hearted one to another, and to forgive one another. And, you know, he said something here that, you know, is really hard to be ignored, and that is when he said to them to forgive one another, he said, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. And so, you know, there's a great teaching in the Word of God that, you know, we can't ever afford to ignore, and that is that we are a forgiven people. And I'm thankful that when I went to the Lord many years ago and I was seeking Him for the salvation of my soul and I was repenting of my sins before a holy God, I'm thankful that he was willing to forgive me of my sins. Because if God had not been willing to do that, they would have still been to my account, because there was no other way that they could have ever been remitted. There was no other way that I could have ever got rid of them except through his forgiveness. And so we that have been saved, we are a forgiven people. And because that we are a forgiven people, we are to be a forgiving people. And Jesus was so serious about that. He was so serious about that teaching that he said, he taught his disciples to forgive. And he said, if you don't forgive, then you won't be forgiven. And that's how serious that he was about that. And so these things are to be put away because they have no place among us, and because they cause such serious problems. And like I said, destruction is in their path. Rather than have bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking and malice, have kindness. Be tenderhearted. Be forgiving. Be followers of God. Walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself for us an offering and a sweet sacrifice to God for a sweet smelling savor. I beseech you therefore, brethren, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, rather, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you're called, with lowliness, meekness, with long suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Praying one for another. You know, I know that that will be my prayer. I believe that will be your prayer. That as the church, you know, as we continue on, that we pray for a uniting, that we pray for unity. And you know, here's what I believe. I believe that if every time that we did not see eye to eye on everything meant that there was just no unity, then there would be no such thing as a unified church anywhere. Because there are always going to be things. There are always going to be different things where we don't see eye to eye. But what causes problems is bitterness and anger and clamor and evil speaking and malice. That's where the problem comes. And so the Apostle Paul wrote and instructed the church at Ephesus. He said, put these things away from you. And that's what I wanted. That's what was on my heart today. That's what I had to share. And I appreciate, again, everybody being here. We certainly appreciate our visitors. Invite you to come back and be with us whenever you can. Let's remember our service tonight at 6 o'clock. We will have preaching service tonight. I did not schedule a visiting preacher tonight. So either I will bring the message tonight, or perhaps somewhere through the afternoon I'll get one of the brethren talked into that, one of the brethren here at church. But let's remember preaching service here tonight at 6 o'clock, and pray God's blessings upon you today. Does anybody have anything further on your heart? Anything at all? Bless you, Sister Angela.